Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 10th. Truckers Parade is over.
and you survived.
Yeah, my knees are still not. I think I did more running. yesterday was tough. Yeah, not that anybody really cares. A little bursitis in one of my knees, right?
Left one or right one?
Right.
Okay.
And I haven't done much running since night league. So, 15 years ago? Many would say it looks it. Okay, fine. Thank you very much for that support.
Yeah, that's a long recess.
So, running around the Harrison over and over, and it's like my knees were aching.
Yeah.
Never had that experience before.
Now, that was Saturday?
That was Saturday night,
We had football Sunday to recover.
No, I wasn't moving that swift yesterday. Yesterday was slow-mo. Today, I'm starting to kind of feel like it's me again.
Oh, there you go.
Which is dangerous, I know, for you.
So you were running traffic patrol. Is that what you were doing?
Yes. Met two people from Paradise.
No kidding.
That were having a tough time trying to get across Harris in the middle of the parade.
Were they here visiting, or did they?
No, they'd relocated during the for the situation. So, I drew them a map and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was just coming home. I'm sure you've got a lot of the employees at the office that have got either kids or family that were relocated or displaced. Heard something cool. Sierra Nevada got a whole bunch of the other craft brewers and the microbrewers.
Yeah, they're doing a thing.
The special label.
It's an IPA of redemption or...
Yeah, something. It starts with an R. It was a long word. I got lost. But so that was kind of a kick. All right, we have got... Or why do they say that? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Bushwhacker. Why is a person who lives in wild country, Mr. Fisherman, called a bushwhacker?
That's a big question. I think I've
seen that or BVDs, and I thought bushwhacker would be more appropriate for you.
Your own trail, I think. You're blazing your own trail.
Because almost every person who goes into open up new country finds it necessary to chop or whack out the bushes.
That's right.
To make his way and create a clearing for his home.
Outstanding. Have you ever done any bushwhacking?
Oh, yeah. Like every 2 years, it's called a berry patch.
I was going to say, if you're in Humboldt County and you own any kind of land, you've got the blackberries to bushwhack for sure.
Oh, boy. Hey, we're coming up to the milepost here of the halfway mark.
Yes, sir.
How's the year gone?
It's good. It's for the schools in Humboldt County and throughout the state. It's obviously a very busy time. But December, folks are excited for the holidays, and it's our first kind of big break that staff and students get to have for the winter recess. So, I'm sure folks are looking forward to that. A couple weeks off here coming up, and college kids are coming home, and so this is the time where, families are getting back together for a little good time together.
Next week is off.
No.
I don't even know where Christmas break kind of floats.
So the week right before.
So 21 is the last day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the roads get normal for a little bit.
Then they'll get a little normal. Or a little bit wilder, depends, yeah.
Well, point taken.
More kids on the road, perhaps.
Yeah, but they don't tend to get up as early as I do to get to work.
You're probably safe.
I hope so.
Yeah,
but then the kid is coming home, too. So there is a balance on that one with road safety.
Sure.
Slow down.
Yeah. No, it's been a busy time. We had a couple good big events. I've been traveling a lot, actually. I went down to the CSBA conference to do a presentation. We had Loretta Eckenrode, one of the county board members. That was great of her to join me down there. And we presented with Mindy Fadig, who's the director of our special ed unit called the SELPA. And we gave a presentation to folks in attendance about county offices working closely with special education programs to serve districts and to try to meet the needs there. And it was nice for our team to represent Humboldt County.
Special ed is really one of those, unless you have a youngster or, family who's involved or that's your professional calling, it's really one of those things that I don't think a lot of us understand.
Yeah.
I understand the severity of it at one point and the enormity of it when it comes to things like budgets and resource allocation and all those types of things.
Yeah.
Is this just kind of gradually grown over the years? Is this something that was ignored when young bucks like you and me were going to school? Or, where did it come from? Because I don't think a lot of folks, let's say 45 and older, that were comfortably in that target, 45 and older, either remember or existed when we were going through?
You know, that's a great question. I would say in the last 10 years or so, obviously the numbers of students in special education have grown substantially. In Humboldt County, for instance, we're currently over 20% of our students would be considered to be in a special ed program or have an individual education plan. So they've been assessed and determined that they have some unique learning disability or situation where they need some additional supports and services that are really identified and very goal-oriented and a legal fashion.
Now, is this like a speech impediment or a LISP? Could that be minor?
It could be that. It could be even less than that, relatively speaking. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole continuum from autism to a speech learning situation, or perhaps the way you code language, the way you are able to read, areas that you might struggle with.
Looks like dyslexia would qualify.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the federal government passed legislation years ago that mandates that schools provide specific services for students that qualify. And that's interesting. When you look at the federal government versus the state, you know, this is a federal government law that we have to fund and allocate the appropriate resources at the state level. But the concern is there's never enough resources, as always, to meet the demand. So districts dip into their general reserves substantially to cover special ed mandates, which it's just what we're required to do, and we do a good job of it here in Humboldt County. But it has to work with the rest of your programs. It can't just be done by itself. I think maybe that's the point you're talking about. Maybe in the old days,
maybe it was
by itself. Exactly.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
Sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. Are we coming up on 2 years? That would be our relationship, year.
Well, I met you more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Here and there, but I'm about a year and a half into it now.
Yeah.
In the position, and it's outstanding. So
it's, you know, there's that old phrase, outstanding in the field, right? So you're out there standing by yourself in the field. Yeah.
Some days you wonder.
Or that's called success on those days, too. You know, the conference center now seems to have really become part of the area.
Yes, indeed.
I was going to say mainstream, but I know that's a different connotation for you guys. But it's a regular routine place now. Is that the way you want it positioned? Is to be of that ilk? That's kind of the first place, and then if it's not available, then you go somewhere else.
Well, we certainly, and to the credit of the staff down there, have become a part of the community and seen as a resource. And if we're seen as one of the first resources, I think that's a success story, because that's why we have the conference center. It's to serve, you know, the needs of Humboldt County Office of Ed and educational entities and agencies. But what we really want is to be able to reach out and support the community in a variety of different ways. And the fact that folks thought of that first, that's outstanding in my book. The issue would then be, you know, sometimes I want to use the conference center, Brian. Here's a real deal. I ask, oh, I need to use the room. Well, it's not available. It's so if I want to use the conference center,
use the boardroom, baby.
Yeah, I got to be like 3 months in advance, you know. And so sometimes for us internally, that's a bit frustrating. But
well, that's
a good
I'm,
thing, you know. I mean, that's
yeah.
We have other rooms that we can use and other spots that we can use, but that happens to me quite often. And my, you know, Janine Mellons and my assistant looks no, Chris, it's not available.
Yeah.
Somebody else is already in there.
Well, which is cool because that speaks to the need, and I've I still feel very strongly we need a convention center. I don't know if it pencils out or not, and I know it depends on who you talk to, well, if it does or not. Yeah. But to have a significant seats, 1,500 people, right, convention center, bring people here to town, that kind of convention, yes, facility. But on the smaller scale, it seems like there's a bottleneck. I mean, if you're,
yeah, there is.
If you can't get in and you're having to be out, mm-hmm, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, during the normal part of the year, summers are a little slow. You know, summertime is a little slow, but we've got some strategies we're working on there. Kind of some beat the heat themes, getting folks over from the valley perhaps to do
trainings. Of course, it's tough. You have to have lodging.
You have to have
summertime,
lodging.
Summertime, not so much so.
But we were working on some partnerships with some lodging here locally.
You know, you are going to be building a dorm.
Well, didn't you see it? It's already built. No, that's not going to happen on our time, I don't think. But it does serve the community in so many different ways. And the folks have had to kind of hone in what our niche market is, you know. And so trying to get away from more of the wedding type of things and really focus more on community events, trainings, hosting those types of things is really where that's our niche.
So now you're 3-4 years into this little bad boy.
Yes, indeed.
Maintenance starts rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, you know, it does.
How do you guys and gals work it? Do you just set aside 5% or 10% of whatever the gross is to make sure the gutters are clean and the roof is okay and that the touch-ups happen, and just, or is it just part of the entire campus and it gets TLC when everybody gets TLC?
We have
TLC.
Dedicated staff for it, you know, and the key to maintaining buildings is to maintain them and to stay on top of it and be preventative and not wait for things to go south. And so that's the approach we've taken. And, you know, all the years I worked in school districts in Northern Humboldt, we took a lot of pride into making sure everything's painted, maintained, you're on top of things, you're not waiting for a problem to happen. So that's the first step, is just be really proactive and you know, keep your facilities looking great. They'll last a heck of a lot longer. You can't take things for granted. I mean, that's just common sense. But, you know, it's still a new building. We look at it all the time. You know, and when you have so many people in and out of it, if there's something that's going on, you find out really quick.
Yeah, I suppose that's one benefit of having so much use of it.
Yeah. The big area that I'm most concerned about in there isn't like the building or the infrastructure of the building, but rather the technology. So when you've been in our facility, you see the enormous amount of TV screens, the technology about it. So that's an area where I, you know, pay attention to. And some of those things break. You know, the issue is we don't have local people to come fix that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't have one TV of that. Gone.
It's kind of you know, the Wizard of Oz back there. You know, you're wondering who's pulling what lever. It's pretty crazy how that stuff is synced together. But the issue there, it'd be very expensive to bring people up. Really, we have to bring from the Bay Area, and so we want to make sure our technology team is on top of that stuff, which they are, and they do a great job. But
so they can do kind of the first level triage.
Absolutely, that's my area of biggest concern when I think of that facility and maintenance, is just the technology keeping it up, because we use it so much, and the team's got it down. I mean, we can do just about anything in there, you know, simultaneously. It's pretty cool.
Pretty overwhelming for some of us on the other side there.
They got their little iPad out, and they're, you know, they're making it all work, and I'm just happy that I have them.
No, don't bother teaching me. Just take care of it. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Parking, I'm surprised you said technology. Parking for me would have been the issue.
Well, I mean, it is an issue. I just don't have a lot of options. You know,
well, okay,
as far as what to do about it.
No need to worry about it.
It kind of is what it is, you know. We'd love to get some of those parking spots back that were on the street that we're able to use years ago. That helped a little bit. But for the most part, now that people have had experiences there, they kind of understand the parking scene. And, you know, we appreciate our friends over there by Starbucks that allow us to use overflow in that area when we need to. But folks kind of have it figured out now when they come to the facility.
Any chance, you know, when you're able to get your eucalyptus trees trimmed down, to use that little bench as additional parking, like an overflow lot?
I kind of doubt it because of the green belt. I think we want to leave that area alone.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County's super duper Chris Hartley.
Super duper.
Super right, duper. I saw the tattoo. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting, American Egg Credit.
My daughter used to say Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Redec. Chris, looking at the second half of this fiscal year for you guys.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom's going into the state under the Golden Dome, and there's a lot of folks that have got mild trepidation, mild excitement, depending on where you are on that spectrum. But one of the things that seems to have been discussed is increasing taxes and fees and the regulatory side of things as an effort to increase revenue.
Right.
How much of your budget is dependent on consumption tax?
I don't
know. At its source versus like property taxes and things of that nature. Any sense?
Well, property tax isn't a large revenue source for schools any longer. When Prop 13 went away in the late 70s, that was all prior to that. Property tax played a big deal.
Well, that was before the ERAF shift too.
That's right.
Who gets what money?
That's right.
From
so
where?
Consumption tax, I mean, just general public taxes is a big deal. It's Prop 98. Is the proposition that gives us our supposed guaranteed funding levels for education in California. But they've amended Prop 98 as they've needed to. But that's our major.
And 98 comes from sales tax?
A variety of different taxes, yeah. So I mean,
the concern was as prices go up, we're going to see more,
yeah, maybe,
more leaving the state and get to that point where, okay, so what when you're developing your budgets and you've got your, here's what we've been told.
Right.
Here's our contingency. Here's Plan B.
Yeah. Well,
how do you do that, does Plan B ever get shown, or is that just there?
No, I mean,
in case the nuclear explosion hits,
sure,
you're able then to execute something quickly.
Schools are required to budget 3 years out, so that's an interesting process in itself to try to anticipate what your dollars are going to look like in 3 years, right? But that's part of that proactiveness is to you have to create a budget that shows where you're at. And we just are actually finishing what we call the first interim. So where we're basically you're checking your dollars and cents and seeing where you stand at this point in the year. And we do it again in March, and then we'll do a final report at the end of the year.
So kind of a midterm.
It's a midterm, quarterly or trimester type of thing. And so that's what
you
we're
just
doing
can't break
right
out
now.
Of that academic referencing, can you?
It's our grades. We're giving ourselves a report card right now. But this is a good point for us to take a look at how things are trending, you know, how your budget's trending. You want to look at your percentages. Are you about a third way through if you've got areas where you're going over? But it's also you're looking at your second and your third year out. And this is where we work with districts to ensure that they have some fiscal stability. You got to maintain a minimum reserve and those sorts of things. But it's really impossible to know exactly where you're going to be in 3 years or 2 years. And with a new governor coming in, our biggest hope is that we just maintain the current funding structure that we have. And that's that local control funding formula that Governor Brown put in.
The processes that are
the structure of how we get paid. Yeah.
And related to the infrastructure.
That was a major shift under Governor Brown from the just the traditional formula of you get a certain amount of dollars per student and you have a lot of categoricals. We've talked about that before. At one point, around 70 different categorical programs, so funds for very specific initiatives that a legislator passed, to now an allotment of money that we decide locally how to use it in the terms of what's best for our students in our district.
Now, does the superintendent of schools as an intermediary between that, or does the governor kind of do an roundabout when there's budget involved, and that's more on the curriculum
side. Superintendent of schools really has nothing to do with how budgets are created for the state of California. They operate more on a different perspective. So the fiscal side, you have the Department of Finance, they're big players, CDE, California Department of Education. That's more where you're.
But you would think that the superintendent of schools would be overseeing these Department of Education.
That position's involved, and I mean, he's certainly overseeing a lot of the things with education, but you have an entire department dedicated to school finance that really, those are the ones that the governor's consulting with.
And those are the ones that you guys talk to as
we do.
As lobbying. Yeah,
we talk to them a lot.
We got the big old smile going on now.
Yes, indeed. In fact, we just had a visit from the Legislative Analyst Office coming up to look at some of our programs.
Really?
That's the other thing. You know, we started last year. We did our Ledge Action Day, the first one in Humboldt County, where we took 8 superintendents from here down to Sacramento, and we spent a long time talking to these folks. So we want them to understand the needs of our rural community and that it's different than the urban areas in the rest of the state where we feel a lot of the decision-making is focused on. And so from a finance perspective, it's real important for us to advocate and educate those folks on what our needs are, so that we are part of that thought process when these big decisions are being made.
Yeah, or at least an outreach to ask, hey, here's what we're considering. What is that? How does that play in your mind?
Or in this case, come up and visit us. You know, so that was fantastic.
That's what I was thinking. You know, with some of the different challenges that are out there, that the regulators and the state staff folks probably don't have that much turnover. So once you can get them into that routine, now it becomes a routine. It's kind of becomes a regular process for them to come to visit to see, and you start to develop those relationships rather than knocking on the door and whining, you know, with palms up asking for money or power.
That's right. And you said it's relationships, you know, so you want that person to think about you as maybe we should call up to Humboldt County and see what they think on this. And we're doing a lot of good work in that. And that was part of that as we started the show this morning talking about presenting in San Francisco, is just to bring that awareness to Humboldt County schools. And fact is, we've got a tremendous pool of dedicated educators and leaders up here who have a lot of skills. And what we find often when we are out and about is we're doing some amazing things up here. You don't really know how well you're doing until you get out and you see what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, you got
to
realize,
hey, you know what?
See.
We got a lot of great programs that are happening.
KINS News and Information Times 8:42. We'll be back.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Hartley. Christmas break. Is it a break?
Well, it is definitely a vacation for kiddos and staff. You know, like you said, we were talking about the last day, it'll be 21st, and then we'll take 2 weeks. And folks can, they got the time to manage on their own, and students will be home for 2 weeks.
Now, I know in the past, holiday breaks, whether it was spring break or Easter break or Christmas or times like that, it was a chance to run in and do quick, small repairs. It was working time. You know, if a classroom needed to be painted, okay, you can punch that out in a day and a half if there are no kids there. Those types of things. That's kind of what these periods were used for also. Is that still the case, or does everybody kind of shut down? The lawnmower guys show up if they don't have the lawnmowers sink into the lawn, and everybody's kind of home.
No, our classified staff will be working for some of those days. So you have two different schedules. You have for your teachers that on their schedule of their work year, and then classified 12-month employees. They have days off certainly during this time period, but they'll be in the schools and taking advantage of exactly what you just talked about. You know, the building's empty today. This is a great time to get the carpets clean. This is a great time to get in there and make a bunch of noise. For instance, at the county office, we're repairing some old heating systems. And
like Franklin School heating systems?
Yeah, in our building, where they're all on a central thermostat. You know, the building where one side of it's freezing, the other side's hot, and the thermostats don't work efficient. That stuff. So we're doing that work. And so this is a great time for us to get in there and make a little more noise than normal. Although we've been making quite a bit of noise. Yeah. Folks have been pretty patient, you know. But we don't have a lot of shutdown time. The fact is that we are running 12 months of the year, you know, for the most part, particularly in the area of maintenance and classified staff and all the business office. The business office is always churning. That doesn't just end because it's the two-week break for everybody.
Is there much of a need for the library anymore?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you hear with the yeah. virtual books and the internet yeah, and yeah. all this stuff, other than the basics, you know, the elementary school level, is there still
really more need? More so now than ever, in my opinion. And the context of what a library is a little different. You're not going to, you know, so the fact is people don't run to their encyclopedia the first time they're going to do a book report anymore. But being able to use kind of from a media specialist perspective and how to do research and providing search engines. And libraries are more important now than ever before, in my opinion. So much information literacy out there that we need to support students and our community in accessing.
Enough to move it in as a class that's taught?
Well, I mean, you know, for the librarians, one of their big components of their job is professional development for teaching and other staff, to show teachers even the resources that are available and how to access them so that they have, material to create great lessons from.
That's right. Those guys are young, too.
Absolutely.
I'm not buying into this aging thing quite yet. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Hey,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
See everybody tomorrow.